Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter number 6, please. Luke chapter number 6, verse number 46. Now, I know that we're going to be directing the message to primarily Connor, but also all our other graduates here tonight that are graduating from high school. We have those that are going to be graduating this month, and so I can just let you know this would be a charge to you as well. Seriously, I'm wanting to be an encouragement, an exhortation tonight. But beyond that, listen, the timelessness of God's word, it applies to all of us. It really does. It applies to all of us. We're here because of the celebration of Connor graduating, but let's not miss an opportunity to hear what God has for us individually as well. Verse number 46, it says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." The ruin of the house was great. And so we're going have the title for tonight is going to be simply this for you, Connor: the most important lesson that you can learn. You thought you were done. Thought you were finished with all of your lessons, but we have one more. And it might be the most important lesson that you can learn. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. A graduate. A person who has received a diploma upon completing a course of study. That's a graduate. In order to have received a diploma, you must have learned a few things. Maybe emphasis on few? A few things? No, in seriousness, there's a lot of things that you graduates have learned. I mean, think about, not even just in school, but in life up to this point, all of what you've learned. All you've learned. You've learned to walk. Jeremy, Carrie, you remember the first steps that Connor was able to take? You learned to talk. Maybe his first word was a mom or dad. Don't know. Papa. Yeah, there we go. It was Papa. In seriousness? Oh, okay, you look serious. I was like, wow. I thought it was a joke. You learned to walk. You learned to talk. You learned to tie your shoes. You learned to ride a bike. I don't know who taught you how to ride a bike. What's the best way to teach a kid to ride a bike? Give them a good push, right? They'll figure it out. You learned how to count 1 to 10 and 1 to 50. You learned, evidently, how to read. You learned how to read. You learned how to throw a ball. You learned how to catch a ball. Unless Brother Bryce is throwing it to you in PE. It's a PE joke. He'll catch every ball except for when I throw it to him. He'll drop it. I don't know why. But you learn how to throw a ball. You learn how to catch a ball. And when you started getting older, you learned how to write. You learned how to write in cursive. You remember those dotted lines that you had to trace? A. And then A again, over and over. And then you moved on to B. And then you moved on to C, all through the alphabet, so that you knew how to write certain letters, so that your writing, the intention was so that your writing could be legible. And second thought, you might want to go back on that one lesson. Learn it again. You learn how to add and subtract and multiply, divide. You learn how to deal with fractions. You learn what really tripped me up. You learn when they introduce the alphabet with the numbers, with algebra. That blew my mind. Find A. It's right there. What's X? I don't know. It's not in there. You know? You learned chemistry, didn't you? You liked chemistry a lot. You learned how the different chemicals react with one another, the periodic table, the electrons, and those things. You learned how to drive. And thus, your parents learned to pray. Learn how to park a car and maybe parallel park, hopefully using your blinkers and staying in the lines, right? Right when you're where you're supposed to be. You're learning karate. Blue belt? Green. Green belt. You learn how to have a job. That was pretty neat to watch. because you then had to learn how to prioritize things in your life with a job and then school and then family and then church. You learn how to get up in front of people and preach. One of the coolest things I've been able to see is down in Oklahoma City, seeing some of our graduates at Heartland Baptist Bible College for college days preach. You learn how to lead singing, the 3-4, 4-4, downbeat. And then you learn how to sing real low in choir, right, Brother Josiah? Learn how to sing real low. You've learned a lot of things, graduates, Connor. But you're not done learning. Still have a lot to learn. There's going to be a lot more that you learn. You're going to go off to Bible college. You're going to go off somewhere where God has you. And there's a lot more that you have to learn in those situations. When you go to college, you're going to have to learn how to do your own laundry. I don't know if you do that on your own yet, but you're going to have to learn how to do that. You're going to have to learn how to iron your clothes. You're going to have to learn how to find your classes. You're going to have to learn how to deal with roommates. They're the best. It's amazing. You're going to have to learn how to do dorm duties. And get this, you're going to have to learn how to eat cafeteria food. Those of you gone to Heartland, lots of salt, huh? Salt it up. You're going to have to then learn, you're already learning how to balance things. You're going to have to really learn how to balance a lot in your life. You're going to have a lot going on, a lot of things going on in your life. You're going to have to learn how to balance those things. And one day, Connor, you're going to have to learn how to shop for a diamond ring. Not for yourself. Because one day you're going to have to learn how to be a godly husband. Raise godly children. In a godly family, then you're going to learn how to be in the ministry. Love people, serve them, care for them, give them the word of God. But in order for some of those things to happen in your life, Connor, there's some very important lessons that you're going to have to learn. It's not going to be like the lessons that you had in chemistry or in math or science or something like that in your school years. Because knowing kind of the direction that you're going and where God has you going, there's a very good chance you might not have to worry about the things that you learned in algebra class or the things that you learned in chemistry class. You might not have to ever worry about writing in cursive ever again, amen? You might not ever have to worry about doing that ever again. Because those things aren't as crucial to life, but there are going to be some things that are imperative for you to learn. I'm going to call them just the governing principles of life. Governing principles that guide and direct you, that transcend the circumstances and situations that you're dealing with and facing in life. You're going to have to learn some lessons that give you a firm foundation. You're going to have to learn that. One of those lessons is found here in this passage of Scripture tonight in Luke chapter number 6. I know a lot of us are familiar with this passage of Scripture, so we won't deal with so much of the details, but there are two houses here in this story that Jesus gives. And there are two results to these houses as well, aren't there? There's one house that after the storm comes by, after it's gone through, it's left standing strong. But there's another house that after the storm comes by, it's left in destruction. And the two houses here represent what Jesus is getting at, just for clarity's sake. They represent our life. They represent your life. And it's like he's offering an option for all of us. What life do you want? Which one do you want, Connor? To be standing strong or to be left in the ruins and destruction after the storms come by? The determining factor as to whether or not we are left with ruins or we are left standing strong, here it is, has everything to do with what you do with God's Word. Has everything to do with what you do with God's Word. This book right here is the most important book that you'll ever read in your life. I know, and I'm not saying that just like for people to, I know we're here and many of us have the background of a Baptist background, and we hear that and we're like, amen, which is good, it's true. but I'm serious here. You're going to go to Bible college. You're going to read a lot of great books. You're going to read books on hermeneutics, how to interpret the Bible, and homiletics, how to preach, and very beneficial book, but I don't want you ever to forget that this is the most important book in your life. This, nothing can substitute what only the Word of God can do in your life, Connor. Is every morning you went to school, you gave the pledge to the Bible, right? That it may be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, that you will hide its words in your heart. It's the most important book. It's the most important book that's in your life. And since it is, Jesus here in this text, he's letting us know, look, it needs to play a very active role in your life. It needs to have a very, very prioritized role, active role in your life. Because he says in verse number 47, as you'll notice, for whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them. And some people have had a little bit of an issue of conflating, essentially, the term my sayings with the entirety of the Bible. They say, you're taking it out of context. It's just the Sermon on the Mount. Well, 2 Timothy chapter number 3 has something else to say about that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So it's not as if we can look at this and say, only the Sermon on the Mount, only the words in the Sermon on the Mount is what Jesus is saying that you should do. No, it's clear. The whole Word of God is something that you and I, all of us, ought to be hearing and doing in our lives. It's supposed to be applied in our lives. And he says here that when you're hearing it, it's not just a matter of just hearing, but you have to do it too. He includes that too. That it's not just hearing, that you have to do it, applying it in your life, that you don't disregard it, you don't listen. You're going to go off and you're going to have busy schedules and you're going to have a completely different kind of situation in life, and it's going to be very tempting to say, you know, I've got some homework to do that I probably should have done yesterday. I've got some schoolwork that I need to study for. I've got some things, I got a test that I have just today that I need to study for, and it's just very tempting for me to just put this on the shelf for a moment. And hold up, we as adults do the same thing, don't we? I got a busy life. I've got things going on in my life. I'd like to just put it over off on the shelf, disregarding it. The Bible calls that despising his word. Despising it. Putting it in a place that it doesn't belong in our lives. It's going to be tempting to do that, but if you're going to apply it, you're going to have allow it to be an active and a very prioritized part, role in your life. It is. And he says that a person that does that, as you'll notice, he's likened unto a man that built his house upon a rock. His foundation was placed upon a rock. So really, if I were to just kind of get at the point of what Jesus is saying in this verse, he's saying, listen, for a person's life, the only proper foundation is the Word of God. The only right foundation for a person's life is the Word of God. And it doesn't matter how young or old you are. This right here is the only proper foundation for you and for me. It's the only right foundation. In the book of Matthew, he says that a person that does that is wise. And we're going to get into explaining exactly what he means by why he's wise and why the other man is a fool. But I don't know if you've noticed this, but there's something that is found in this particular section of the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Luke as compared to Matthew chapter number 7, which is a parallel passage, and there is something that he includes here that's not found in Matthew chapter number 7. Because there's something that's going to be required of you, Connor. There's going to be something that's required of us in our lives if we're going to allow the Word of God to be the foundation of our lives, and it's going to be this. Look at verse 48 again. He says, he is like unto a man which built a house, and look at that. What are those next three words? And what? Dig deep. He dig deep. You see that? Hold up. Wait. He dug deep down into the ground. Okay, real quick. This really ruins the picture that I had in my mind when I was a little kid. You know that child song? The wise man built his house upon a rock. Please don't make me sing the whole thing. You got it, right? The wise man built his house upon a rock. For some reason, when I was a little kid, I always just imagined that there was this random guy that went out there and found a massive boulder and just built his house on a boulder. And I'm like, yep, that's what you do. That's a good, solid foundation. But this isn't what he's getting at. He's getting at the fact that you have to dig deep, real deep, in order to lay a firm foundation for a building. As a matter of fact, if you talk to anybody that's in any type of construction or buildings or structures or something like that, they tell you, yeah, you have to dig real deep in order to lay a very firm foundation, especially if it's going to be a large building. Like, for instance, skyscrapers, right? I did some research. The third largest tower in the world is the Shanghai Tower in China. Get this. This article told me that it is 2,070 feet tall. The foundation, get this, of the building goes a total of 282 feet underground. That's a long trip underground. It has 5 basement floors, it has 980 foundation piles, and just for good measure, a 20-foot thick reinforcement mat made entirely of concrete. To pour the concrete with a massive construction crew took over 63 hours to accomplish. And it took a total of 450 mixer trucks with 8 different pumping stations in the city just to get the foundation laid. Isn't that crazy? What? Even in modern technology, get this, even in modern technology, this is the point. In order to lay a firm foundation, it is going to take time and effort. It's going to take significant time and effort. And Connor, I'm just letting you know, graduates, I'm just letting you know, parents, adults, hey, if we're going to let this be a firm foundation in our lives, we're going to have to take some time and we're going to have to put in some effort to allow it to be so. We're going to have to get into it. We're going to have to dig deep into it. We're going to have to read it and understand it. And then we're going to have to take the time and effort to see how it applies to our life, allow it to uproot things out of our lives, and then allow it to govern our lives. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some effort to meditate upon it and understand it and mull over it. It's not going to be as easy as just taking a minute and a half to read a psalm. It's not going to be as easy to just open it up once a week, Connor, or once a month, and just decide, you know, that's going to be good enough for me. It's not. It takes time, and it takes disciplined, consistent effort in order for it to be a firm foundation. But those that take that time, Matthew 7, Jesus refers to him as a wise man. Why is he wise? I bet you're right. Luna, she usually is. Simply because we're going to get into it, he built with today or with tomorrow in mind, not today. He was building with the future in mind, not with today in mind. That's what he was doing. Jesus is making it quite clear in here that those that take the time and effort to apply God's word for their life is wisely laying a firm foundation for themselves. You're going to have to do that, Connor. You have to take the time and effort to do that. It's wise to do that. The contrary, the only other alternative is to be what the other man is. Also found in Matthew chapter number 7, Jesus refers to him as the foolish man. He's the foolish man. And he's the foolish man simply because he, while hearing, didn't do anything with what he heard. If you'll notice there in verse number 49, it says, "But he that heareth and doeth not." Hold up, both men heard, didn't they? Both men heard, but only one was willing to do exactly what he heard, right? Both of them heard. So evidently, get this, evidently the hearing part is not where the foundation is being laid. You don't start laying a foundation hearing the word of God and hearing the word of God and listening to messages out of the word of God. No. The foundation is being laid when you decide to take what you're hearing and apply it to your life. Connor, I know your background as well as the other graduates here. Your parents have done everything that they can to bring you to church. You've come here since you were a little kid, since you were a little boy. You've had a pastor that's preached to you your entire life. You've been in the youth group and you've heard countless messages. You've gone to youth rallies. You've gone to youth activities. You've gone to youth camp. You've gone down to college days. You have heard, and we've done everything that we can, even in this school, to allow you to hear and hear and hear and hear. But while we've done what we can to help you hear, we can't make you quiet. That's a conscious decision you're going to have to make, especially now. You don't have your parents on you about it. You're not going to have a youth pastor there saying, "Hey, Connor, are you reading your Bible? Hey, Connor, what are you getting out of it? Hey, Connor, how's it?" You're not going to have us. You're going to have to make a conscious decision to apply it to your life on your own, to do it. You can decide not to do it, graduates. You can decide not to. You can decide, you know, I've got things going on. It's not that important. You can decide, you know what? What they have going on at that church right there, that's some kind of weird scheme they have going on, some weird cult. Right? They're trying to control my life. They're intolerant. They're so dogmatic about things. And I just, you know what? I think what's best for me is just to kind of part ways and just start building my own foundation. Listen, you do that, Jesus says you're a fool. What's a fool? Well, a fool is where we get our word moron from, believe it or not. Moros. That's the Greek term for it. It's where we get our word moron from. And the idea, it really puts a new spin on that song. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The moron built his house upon the sand, right? It's a new little spin on that, I don't know. But at any rate, what does the term moron mean? Well, what it's getting at in this context here is it's the idea of thinking, or I'm sorry, it's the idea of acting without thinking. You're just acting. Essentially, you're acting on your emotions. You're acting on your desires. You're not thinking about the situation. Hold up. In this situation here, it's acting without taking into consideration all of the factors involved. This is why this man's a fool. You ready? We think, oh, he's a fool because he's built his house upon the sand. Well, no, that was just a result of him already being a fool and thinking in a foolish way. See, the issue was that when he decided he was going to build his house, before he even started building it, he failed to consider one of the most important factors involved with building a structure. You know what that is? The outside elements. Forgot about it. Or he rejected it or neglected it altogether. As a matter of fact, that same article that I was talking about with the Shanghai Tower, they had a section in there that explained what factors go into or are involved with determining just how wide and how deep the foundation is. There are four factors that they brought up. One, the first factor was how the skyscraper was designed. The design of it was a factor. The second factor was the soil composition. The third factor was the depth to the bedrock, okay, the solid ground. And then the fourth one, now get this is where we're getting at. The fourth one was this, the environmental risk, such as water, wind, and earthquakes. They build skyscrapers with the expectation that there are going to be storms. They don't build it thinking, well, hopefully there won't be. No, they build it knowing they're going to come. That's what this foolish man failed to do, right? He failed to build the house with considering, wait a minute, there's going to be a storm one day. He decided, no, I'm just going to go after it. I'm just going to start building this building, and I'm just going to start erecting it. And it doesn't matter what it is. And listen, the idea of having to dig real deep in all of that time and that effort, I don't want to put in the time and effort for that. I just want the product without putting in the power or even any of the strength to get the product. I just want that altogether right away. I just want a quick little result, and I'm just going to start putting in my effort into it, and I'm just going to start building up this building. And guess what? What ended up happening? The inevitable happened. The storm came, didn't it? The storm came, and listen, this you have to understand, the setting and the people that Jesus is talking to, this is Israel, okay? This isn't the kind of storms where it just lightly sprinkles. It's a torrential downpour, right? Out here in eastern Colorado, we sometimes get those. I remember a year and a half ago, there was one so bad I couldn't even see Highway 94. And it flooded this entire, well, it felt like the entire building because I was in panic mode, but it flooded a good part of the building. It's a torrential downpour. It starts blowing that wind, and it's hitting up against that house, and look at the text. It's that it fell immediately, meaning this, it didn't even have a chance. It didn't stand a chance against the storm that came its way. And after the storm passed by, all that was left was all of the remains and the ruins. Oh, but hold up. In the same storm, there was another house whose builder was wise, who decided, you know, I think I might invest the time and the effort into digging real deep. I think I might just lay down a real solid foundation and get down into the bedrock and lay this thing on this solid foundation, because I expect one day there's going to be this massive storm comes by and the floods come sweeping through, and the last thing I want to have to deal with is a broken home or a broken house. So I'm going to lay a firm foundation. And the Bible says that he was wise. Why? Because he built with the expectation that the storms were going to come. And what I'm wanting to communicate tonight for our graduates, for you, Connor, is listen, the storms are going to come. They're going to come. He doesn't say if they come, do that, does he? He says when they come. When the storm came, and listen, you're going to face a lot of storms in your life. I know some of you have already faced a lot of storms already at a young age, but they only intensify when you get out on your own. They're going to come, and they're going to start pounding on you and pounding on you and pounding on you, and it's going to feel like, boy, when it rains, it just pours, right? Have you ever said that before? Man, when it rains, it pours, doesn't it? Talking about it in life in general, and you're going to find that, man. It seems to just pour whenever it rains, and I want to remind every one of you graduates is that you're no match for those storms. You're no match for it. There's no hope for you to stand through those storms on your own. There's no hope for you to make it through the financial storms that you're going to face one day, the family storms that you're going to face one day, the relationship storms that you're going to face one day, the academic storms that you're going to face one day, the storms of doubt and fear and wondering, God, what are you going to do? Are you going to come through? Or how are you going to do this? Or when are you going to do this? There is no hope for you to stand the storms of life. The only hope that you are going to have, really, it doesn't come down to how talented you are, how smart you are, how much money you have, how much fame you have or recognition you have. It doesn't matter what kind of other foundation you have. The only hope that you are going to have to stand the test or the storms of life, Connor, is if during the time before the storm came, you had been applying the Word of God in your life. That you've made the decision previously. You built previously with the expectation the storm's going to come, and you started laying down the firm foundation and digging real deep and understanding the Word of God and applying it to your life and saying, you know what, I'm going to invest the time and the effort to do this, to obey it and refuse to reject it and disregard it in your life. It's your only hope. The storms of life are going to come. When they do, you want to be ready. You want to be prepared for it. And really, at the end of the day, if you have the right foundation in your life, when that storm comes by and it sweeps through and that the clouds part, this is what we're all going to see. If you've been building on the right foundation, you know what we're going to see? Your life is still standing. But if it is any other foundation, any kind of person, any other teaching, whatever it is, we're just going to look at the remains of a building that once was standing. But graduates, you can stand the storms of life by making God's Word your foundation. And so we're saying, build wisely tonight, right? Build wisely. Adults, hey, we can get off too. We think, oh, I'm in my adult years. I got this figured out. I'm standing strong right now. You know what I find is so funny? I wonder if those two houses there, they looked exactly the same. I wonder if they both looked exactly the same on the outside, but the big difference was exposed when the storm came. You can look real good as church members, as adults, Say, my life's good, it's fine. Maybe you've stood some small storms. But I think about the storm that came Job's way when Satan deliberately went after him and said, I'm taking this house out. It doesn't matter how long you've been on this earth, you can't stand that storm. You'll only stand if you have this as your foundation. So, graduates, I'm imploring you, I'm encouraging you, I'm exhorting you to build wisely. At Ellicott Baptist School, we are determined to teach students normal, basic subjects in life, such as math and science and history and things of that sort. But Ellicott Baptist School exists primarily because it's determined to teach young men and women God's Word. Because we believe that it is the only foundation that is strong enough to stand the storms of life. And so, Connor, you've learned a lot of lessons. A lot of them. But the most important lesson that I hope you've learned is how to apply this book into your life. Because when those struggles come, whatever curveballs come your way, 10, 20 years from now, church, we've seen it. We've seen some people leave this school. We've seen some people leave this church 10, 20 years later. We're looking at them, and they're still standing strong. Amen? Praise God. But we've also seen some people 10, 20 years down the road where their life looks nothing like the kind of life we were hoping that they'd build. We've seen the ruins of it. So what life do you want? Build wisely. Build your life upon God's word. Amen?